present today is some work that we've been doing looking at healthcare quality and cost and how that relates to individual perceptions of care as an important factor in quality measurement. So I want to also thank some of my co-investigators here. Oh, there we go. Lauren Wisk is sitting here in the audience, and she has helped tremendously in getting this project moving forward and working with us on this project. So a little bit of background. In the 2001, the Institute of Medicine report identified patient-centeredness as one of the six goals of a 21st century healthcare system. So payment reform and the adaptation of the Affordable Care Act will really be driven in part by reimbursements, and those reimbursements will be driven by quality at all levels. So at the healthcare system level, the hospital level, the clinical, and the provider level. And so pending these changes, it's really important to understand right now what are the factors that are determining individual quality and metrics across the country. And this issue of patient-centered outcomes is a cornerstone of healthcare reform, which means that quality isn't just the processes by which you implement the healthcare or the outcomes that you get, but really it's this issue of patient satisfaction. So are people really receiving the care that they need? And why is patient satisfaction important? Well, previous work has shown that patient satisfaction has been linked to increased continuity of care. So if you have a better relationship with your provider, you're more likely to seek out preventive care services, in which case that tends to lead to improved outcomes. And then again, patient satisfaction is increasingly being used to measure health system, hospital, clinical, and provider level quality of care. And as we move towards pay for performance, the issue of understanding how you improve patient satisfaction is really going to be important. Some of the factors that determine patient satisfaction include individual patient characteristics, so age, gender, past experiences, the environment of the healthcare system that you're providing it, patient-provider interactions, and issues of wait time. Trying to find it. So, and that today, while many people have looked at that, today the majority of studies have really focused on Medicare and Medicaid populations. I'm just going to keep going because it's before lunch. But little attention has been paid to the intersection of this perception and the appropriate receipt of health services. So the goals of our project were to integrate some resources that we have from what is called the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin, which I'll explain in a little bit, and examine the relationships between system-level quality of care and perceived quality and satisfaction with care. So we wanted to look at this relationship overall, how people see the overall are satisfied with their quality of their care they receive, and in a period of last 12 months. We'll adjust our models for major demographic factors that we know are found to be associated with patient satisfaction, and then also look at the impact of self-report receipt of services on people's perceptions of quality and satisfaction with the care they receive. One of our major partners, the data that we have around standardized quality of care is coming from what's called the Wisconsin Collaborative for Healthcare Quality. It's a voluntary organization that does standardized quality reporting. It's a mix of about 50 providers throughout the state of Wisconsin that have agreed starting in 2004 to provide data on healthcare quality metrics. And they have a number of different metrics related to preventive care, chronic care. And they have a website to support quality reporting. So for instance, this is a measure looking at chronic care and diabetes care, and this is the blood sugar-based testing. So within the database, they have process outcomes. So of the proportion of people that should be getting blood pressure or blood sugar testing in your population, what's the proportion that actually are? And then each one of the systems reports those data to this website, and you can track trends over time in terms of looking at improvement in the number of providers and individuals within your system who are meeting these guidelines. Most of these guidelines are based on the national guidelines. The difference with this reporting system is that all payers and all providers are included. So it's not limited to just Medicare or Medicaid. It's populations included in here don't have any services, and it's all different types of insurance types because the reporting happens at the systems level. This is an example looking at the spread of some of the indicators that are within the system. This is looking at diabetes process and outcome quality metrics from 2010. You can see that there's a wide range of proportion of healthcare providers, or proportion of people, percent of patients within a system that are meeting the requirements, or by system. So for A1C testing, it ranges from 80% to down below 60%. But for testing, the process measures tend to be higher compared to the outcome measures, which is what one might expect. So we have those data for all of the healthcare systems throughout the state of Wisconsin, and then we really want to understand, well, how is this really impacting patients and patients' quality and patient satisfaction? And in the state of Wisconsin, we have this project called the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin, which was modeled after the National Health and Nutrition Exam Survey. And it's a representative sample of state residents and communities. And each year, our goal is to recruit between 800 and 1,000 participants, adults aged 21 to 74 years old. Between 2008 and 2012, we recruited close to 3,000. And at the end of 2013, we will have over 3,000 participants in our survey. The participants that participate, because it is a representative sample, are located throughout the entire state of Wisconsin. And it's an individual-based household survey. So we ask a breadth of information, and we also do a physical exam. So these are our exam trucks that travel throughout the state gathering this health information. The model that we use is really a social determinants of health model, which recognizes that while healthcare and disease are integrally related, we also want to understand kind of how these larger social, physical environments impact this relationship. So the data we collect is fairly extensive. We have a home and a field center interview. We gather data on sociodemographics, medical history, mental health, behaviors, perceptions about the community. We also do a physical exam at a field center, so we have objective measures on anthropometrics to get a body mass index, blood pressure, spirometry, and BIA, which is a body fat composition measure of fitness. And we also gather biological samples. For this particular analysis, most of the data come from the home and field center interview self-report information that were gathered. So given that we have these two fairly novel and unique resources for data in the state of Wisconsin, we partnered together with the Wisconsin Collaborative to really understand this issue of individual outcomes and perceptions of care as it relates to healthcare system quality. We used data from the 2008 to 2011 survey, and we used the Wisconsin Collaborative for Healthcare Quality system level reporting for 18 healthcare systems and providers in the state. We linked the data based on a self-report measure of usual source of care and provider name. So within our survey, we asked, do you have a usual source of care? Who is that? And then we were able to link that to the systems. We used standardized interviewing. We did a tremendous amount of coding and linkage. And then we also had these quality assured by the Wisconsin Collaborative for Healthcare Quality staff to make sure that we had the linkage correct. And what you can see is that amongst the show participants for just the year of 2010, we have about over 500 participants who say they see a WCHQ provider compared to another 50% of the population that says they have an other provider for which we don't have quality metrics or they're missing data. This looks at the distribution of the proportion of people within the show population as it relates to the proportion of people seen within the, and this matches really well with the proportion of people that are covered by each one of the healthcare systems. So we feel like we have a good representative sample with the 50% we have. In terms of the spread of each one of the healthcare systems and where they provide services, you can see that up here, this is, we identified the zip codes that are served by the different healthcare systems. And we looked at the density of proportion of population that go to that healthcare system, which ranges between 2% within a zip code to about 30% in a zip code. For Gunderson Lutheran, which is over here on the left side of the state, and this is a really high-performing healthcare system, versus Medical College of Wisconsin, which is more down here. This is, if people familiar with Wisconsin, this is the city of Milwaukee, and this is a more diffuse system, and the range is about 0.3 to 5% of Medical College per zip code in the Milwaukee area. And this also happens to be a lower performing healthcare system. So then what we looked at within this to identify predictors and covariates of patient satisfaction. We looked at the WCHQ system level quality on four preventive measure care measures. So we looked at tobacco use screener, a breast cancer screening, cervical cancer screening, colorectal screening, and then one chronic care measure, a diabetes all or none process indicator. We adjusted for sociodemographic characteristics, health status, and access to care. The outcomes we were really looking at were perceived quality of care. So how would you rate the quality of care you received when you last saw a doctor or healthcare provider? And we used a 5-point Likert scale for that. And then we also asked about satisfaction with care. So how satisfied were you with the way the care was provided with you when you last saw a doctor or healthcare provider? And then we asked the same question, but referring to your overall quality of care in the last 12 months, and then overall satisfaction with care in the last 12 months, to see if these, if overall quality was driven at all also by the provider that you saw. We ranked everyone based on the percent of eligible participants as reported by all providers meeting a particular benchmark. So we used the Preventive Task Force recommendations for what services should be provided and to characterize the population. We did an average Z-score analysis to rank groups into the top high-performing, mid-performing, bottom quarter, and low, were identified as the lower-performing groups. So what we found when we started to look at the demographics of our population, that we wanted to really ask a number of different questions. So are there differences in our population between people who identified no specific provider, people who specified a provider but it wasn't part of the Wisconsin quality reporting system, and people who were part of the quality reporting system? And what we saw is that there are very few differences in terms of age, gender, race, ethnicity, proportion of people who are married, education, health insurance status, or chronic condition between those without identifying a non-WCHQ provider versus a WCHQ provider. However, we do see major differences in the proportion of people with chronic conditions and gender. So about 73% of our people who have no regular source of care provider are males. An increased percentage of the people without a provider are non-whites. And a smaller proportion of people in the non-group were married or living with a partner. And then when we ranked the healthcare providers, this the top is the top quartile. This purple group is the middle quartile, and the red is the lower quartile for overall performance. So we kept these groupings in terms of overall performance, and then we looked at where each one of these provider groups fell on each one of the standardized quality metrics. So adult tobacco use screening, there's a standard that 100% of your providers individuals should be screened for tobacco use, and amongst our high-performing groups, on average, 97.7% of the patients that were supposed to be getting that screening were, compared to 97.4, on average, 97.4 in the middle-performing and 94 in the lower-performing group. And again, we saw the same thing with breast cancer screening. This is amongst women who are eligible for breast cancer screening, so we screened out ineligible participants. And again, we consistently see that those in the top quartile rank overall also were on average, had higher quality than the middle and the low in performing groups. These are the same data showing for colorectal cancer. So you can see for some of the metrics, tobacco screening has been integrated as a quality metric for quite some time, and it's a population-based measure. Some of these other measures, such as colorectal screening, proportions are as low as 64%. For diabetes screening, proportions in the lower ranking group are about 50%, up to 60% of people who should be getting the care that they need are actually getting what they need in these different groups. So there's a range depending on the indicator you're looking at in terms of process and outcomes for quality with these data. Then we looked at this issue of how would you rate the quality of the care you received when you last saw a doctor or healthcare provider, and we wanted to look at the odds of an individual rating their healthcare as excellent or very good, or fair or poor versus good, and what might be some of the determinants of this. And what we saw when we looked at the adjusted odds ratio, having a non-WCHQ provider and or being in a mid-ranking WCHQ provider compared to a low-ranking WCHQ provider increased your odds of saying that your care was excellent or very good. And the reason we would focus And I just provided this as a context. These are also significantly elevated odds ratios compared to the low-ranking WCHQ, but we only have about 4% of our population who really even say that their care is fair or poor compared to good. So I just put that in there for context, but I wouldn't hold, those are really large confidence intervals. But for this part, the reason that excellent or very good is important is that there's research that shows people who say that their quality of their care is excellent or very good tend to be people who are repeat performance. So they tend to come back to the same healthcare provider if they perceive their care as being excellent or very good. So when you're trying to identify patients or make improvements, it's really this excellent or very good category that one might be most concerned about. The other thing to point out here is that both the number of appropriate services as well as the number of inappropriate services increase the odds of an individual stating that they felt the quality of their care was excellent or very good. And then we also compared this issue of when you last saw your doctor or healthcare provider versus the quality of care you received in the last 12 months. And we see that, these are the data you just saw, but you see that overall quality, there really are no increasing, the performance of a healthcare provider group really did not increase the odds of one reporting that the quality of their care they received in the last 12 months was excellent or very good. And appropriate services and inappropriate services were not significant either when you're looking at overall quality versus the quality of care you receive from your specific provider. So there is a provider patient relationship that is making a difference in people's report of care. And then similarly, when we look at issues of satisfaction, how satisfied were you with the way your care was provided in the last, when you last saw a doctor or healthcare provider? Again, the non-WCHQ groups and the mid-ranking WCHQ groups compared to the low-ranking WCHQ groups were more likely, significantly more likely to say that they were satisfied with their care. But in terms of satisfaction, there's no longer a significant association, and there's no associations with overall satisfaction with care, healthcare services in the last 12 months. So there, again, is a relationship with this healthcare provider that's happening. And then when we wanted to look at what is the predicted probability that being served by a provider in one of these groups would predict that you would say that the quality of your care was excellent or very good, we comparing to the overall adjusted mean probability, it's really these non-WCHQ providers and mid-ranking WCHQ providers that you can see have a higher likelihood of excellent or very good care compared to no usual provider or other groups. And again, we looked at the same probability of satisfaction amongst these different groups. So the strengths of this analysis is that we were able to link some unique novel resources and data to explore relationships between individuals' perception of quality, system-level quality ranking, and receipt of services. This is a geographically diverse sample, which isn't normally part of quality care analyses, and it's a population-based sample. Most often, Medicare and Medicaid services are used for these types of analyses, and I think we are able to create a good baseline evidence regarding the potential mismatch between the number of services that people are providing and how they perceive their care and the quality that they have, which really is consistent with previous literature. The limitations are that these data were cross-sectional, and the quality reporting at a system level may not be reflected of provider or clinic level reporting. So I think as the Wisconsin Collaborative is now starting to do reporting at the clinic level and the provider level, so I think this will be an important future direction for future analysis and future study. So overall, the conclusions, we found that increases in numbers of services received resulted in increased report of excellent or very good care. We confirmed previous studies suggesting patients report greater satisfaction with care and quality of care with increased receipt of services regardless of whether or not they were appropriate. The report of excellent care means repeat customers and consumer satisfaction. However, it did not appear to be associated with system-level quality performance. And then I think in moving forward, changing patient expectations regarding receipt of appropriate health services may be the biggest hurdle in increasing patient satisfaction and improving overall quality if this issue of patient-centeredness continues to be an issue with healthcare reform. And we need additional future studies to track the long-term trends at all levels. So we need the system-level reporting, provider, clinic, and hospital-level reporting. want to acknowledge all of the different groups, particularly folks at the Wisconsin Collaborative for Healthcare Quality, the SHOW administrative and staff, the SHOW field staff, the many, many graduate students who've worked with us, the participants of the SHOW program, and my colleagues and co-authors, Javier Nieto, Lauren Wisk, Matt Walsh, Green Engelman, and Paul Papard. And I want to thank funding from the National Heart and Lung Blood and Institute and the Wisconsin Partnership Program for Education and Research for this work. And I have no disclosures to claim. So thank you. Questions? Well, I think pay for performance is really driven by those metrics. Most of these groups are reporting to both, so they do the CMS reporting and they do this WCHQ providing. I think because it's a collaborative, I think because it's all of these systems are competing for patients within the system, they are responsive and interested in these data and understanding how this impacts. But it's mostly, I think, from that consumer base and understanding how do we get more consumers into our health system versus another health system. That's a good question. So I realize I glossed over that. We looked at the Preventive Care Task Force services guidelines for receipt of care. So if you're a woman of a certain age and a certain demographic, did you get a breast cancer screening in the last year if that was appropriate for you at that time? So we looked at the Preventive Service Task Force guidelines for preventive care and linked that in. I'm looking at Lauren. We've thought a lot about that. It's hard to tell. In Wisconsin, quality of care is pretty high, so the distinguishing what is really difference between a mid to a high, there may not be that much variation. It could be a number of different factors. It could be an issue of sample size right now that we have. Lauren, do you have any other thoughts on that? Other questions? Okay. Thank you.